What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, man, Alex Pereira is just shutting us all up. I mean, I thought Yuri Prohaska, now I got that last name correct, but I thought he was going to come out and surprise in this one and get the upset, but Alex Pereira shut us all up. He took out another motherfucker, and it was in typical Alex Pereira fashion. At this point, this guy is knocking everybody out, and this time around, it was a round two head kick, and it was a no-doubter. It was a boom, boom, pow, get the fuck out of here, motherfucker. It was right as the second round started, and Pereira just knocked his ass out, and he is just, nobody is dominating UFC the way Pereira is right now, because Pereira is actually taking out big motherfuckers along the way. Not only is he holds two belts. Not only does he do that, but I mean, he's actually beating legit people basically since he hit the UFC. And I mean, he is just dominating shit right now, and it is beautiful to watch. Something crazy happened the night of the fight. The co-main event was supposed to be Brian Ortega versus Diego Lopez. But Brian Ortega ended up getting sick the day before. He had a fever and he just was not feeling well. And then they were just kind of playing it by ear. And then literally, as they're doing I think it was a preliminary round. I can't remember if it was early prelims or the preliminary round. But we get breaking news that they literally had to reschedule a different fight that night. And it's never happened before in the history of UFC, but basically Brian Ortega had to bow out because he was still sick. He had like a 103-degree fever, and he just was not medically cleared to fight. And so what they ended up doing, instead of sending Diego Lopez home, they actually hit up Dan Ige, who was already training for a fight coming up in a couple of weeks. He lives in Vegas, so he was already there and ready to go. The rankings worked out and everything. But on 3 hours' notice, Dan Ige takes the fight, shows up, weighs in. He did ultimately end up losing in the third round by decision. I mean, shout out to him for just coming up on 3 hours' notice on a fight. The co-main event, by the way, this was not just one of the early prelims or the preliminary rounds. This was a co-main event between Ortega and Lopez. And so Dan Ige came in, and he did lose, but like I said, good job on everybody in UFC to get that shit turned around right quick like that. Now, let's move on to NBA free agency, because that started yesterday, and we have had some big names either re-sign or sign with new teams. So let's begin with Klay Thompson. He is no longer going to be with the Golden State Warriors. I think we all kind of expected that to happen. Looked like that was not going to be, they were just ready to move on, and it kind of feels like he's ready to move on too. He ended up signing with the Dallas Mavericks. I really dig that move just because he's a veteran. He's a champion. He could bring that championship pedigree to the Dallas Mavericks. Now, he is an old guy. He's not what he used to be. But I think he's gonna come right in and help this Dallas Mavericks team. Then Paul George ended up signing with the Philadelphia 76ers. I think this is a good move. I mean, him and Embiid and Maxi ended up signing an extension, so he's going to be there. I kind of feel like this is going to be a pretty damn good 76ers team next year if Embiid is able to stay healthy, which is always the big if every single year. But that's a solid signing by the Philadelphia 76ers. Chris Paul is going to sign with the San Antonio Spurs. And then James Harden ended up re-signing with the Los Angeles Clippers. And then in some historic NBA news, you know, Jason Tatum just ended up winning the championship with the Boston Celtics. And now he has officially signed his extension with the Boston Celtics. He is going to be making a record $315 million. That's the biggest contract signed in NBA history, so congrats to him. I mean, what a great year for him. Not only did he have a good year on the court, just basketball-wise, then he had a solid postseason, ends up finally winning a championship, and now gets a $315 million extension. So shout out to you, Jason Tatum. You are having one hell of a year, that's for sure. All right, so let's move on to baseball. and the top 10 MLB power rankings for this week. We actually do have a new number one who's moved up in the rankings. And but the rest of the usual suspects are here. It's just a little bit of shuffling. But let's get to the new number one. And it to me, it just was pretty easy for me. It's the Baltimore Orioles. They are 53-31 on the season. And yes, they are only 4-6 in their last 10 games. But this team has been on fire. They've been raking through everybody. And then the teams below them just haven't been playing as well as them, at least in my opinion. This past week, they did lose a series to the Cleveland Guardians, but they smashed the Texas Rangers. And one thing that just made me put the Orioles above everybody this week is they are coming off of a franchise record 60 home run month for the month of June. I mean, that's just what kind of offensive force the Baltimore Orioles are. And then you've got Corbin Burns and the rest of their starting pitching lineup. They are just mowing people down. I mean, Burns has he's got one of the lowest ERAs in the league. I believe he's second or third lowest ERA in the league right now. And the Orioles are just an extremely complete team. They are young. Gunnar Henderson, he's second behind Aaron Judge and tied with Otani for second in the league with 26 home runs. So, you know, they're just getting it done in all ways, shapes, and forms. And they're just playing better than everybody else, at least right now. Then at number two in my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Philadelphia Phillies. Overall record of 55-29. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Detroit Tigers and split the series with the Miami Marlins. And just a little bit of bad news for them this week is both Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber, they were put on the injured list a few days ago. And so that's definitely going to take some offense out of their sails. Now, lucky for them, they do have excellent starting pitching. Even though Ranger Suarez, you know, he started off the season real hot, he kind of has cooled off. And by kind of cooled off, I mean, like, you know, he's had a couple of games. But, I mean, overall, he's still mowing everybody down. And then you still got Nola. And they just are really a stacked-ass starting pitching lineup. But it is going to be interesting to see what happens with Harper and Schwarber on the injured list, just because that is a big chunk of their offense right there, and that could cost them a few games here in the coming weeks. Then at number three on my top 10 MLB power rankings, a team that's fallen a little bit, and that would be the New York Yankees. Overall record of 54-32. They're 3-7 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the New York Mets and split the series with the Toronto Blue Jays. And, I mean, really, they are not getting a lot of offense outside of Aaron Judge right now, which is a huge problem. And then also their starting pitching is getting blown up, which is weird because, you know, I've mentioned that Gerrit Cole hasn't been with them all year. And then magically when he comes back off the injured list, everybody is starting to suck. He did have a solid game. Was it yesterday or the day? It was over the weekend Cole pitched, and he did have a solid game against the Blue Jays. But offensively, the Yankees are struggling outside of Aaron Judge, who is just killing everybody right now. Right now, Aaron Judge is batting at 316 with 31 home runs. 31. And like I said, Otani and Gunnar Henderson are in second place with 26. So he's got a huge run or a huge lead there. And then he's leading the league with 82 RBI as well. And by the way, this is the most home runs for a New York Yankee up to July for any New York Yankee historically. The only other three people behind him are Babe Ruth, and Aaron Judge. And he is on pace to not only potentially break his home run record again, or at least make it interesting, but he's also on pace for the Triple Crown because he's batting at 316. He's second right now in the league at batting average. 31 home runs, leading the league in home runs, and 82 RBI, which also leads the league. So we could be looking at yet another historic year for Aaron Judge, but everybody else around him is starting to fall apart, but he is still their shining star. Then at number four on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Los Angeles Dodgers. Overall record of 52-33. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they swept the Chicago White Sox, but lost the series to my San Francisco Giants, which was absolutely hilarious, especially because there was a game where the Giants, I think it was Saturday. It was Friday or Saturday. It was one of the games over the weekend, and they just murdered them. It might have actually been yesterday's game. Whatever. There was a game where I was like, shit, this is actually very shocking from the Giants. But and it was also excellent to see. But still, the Dodgers, they're still having a great season. Like I said, with Otani, he's second in the league, 26 home runs. So he's having no issues. hitting it out of the park. And then Tyler Glass now is just mowing everybody down. He's got 8 wins on the season with a 3.23 ERA and 136 strikeouts on the season. So he is just money. And both he and Ohtani, those were their offseason pickups, and they are working out perfect for the Dodgers right now. Then at number 5 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Milwaukee Brewers. Overall record of 50-34. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Texas Rangers. As a matter of fact, they swept them. It kind of feels like everybody is sweeping the Texas Rangers as of late. And these are the defending champs, but man, they just have not looked good at all this season. Then the Brewers also took the series over the Chicago Cubs. And they are just getting it done as well. They are a very streaky team this year. You know, they're up right now, but they are at 50 wins. And so that says a lot. Once you hit the 50-win mark here at July, that means you are a solid team. And they've been one of the teams I've been talking about pretty much since the jump. They've you know, fallen down or fallen out a couple of times. But overall, this team's pretty much maintained a level of consistency for the most part. Willie Adames, he is leading the team with 13 home runs and 54 RBI, so they're getting the usual offense from him. And then Peralta, their starting pitcher, he's having another phenomenal year with 6 wins, a 3.83 ERA, and 120 strikeouts on the season. And the Milwaukee Brewers are just getting it done in a lot of different ways, offensively, the pitching, and defensively as well. Then at number 6 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Cleveland Guardians. Overall record of 52-30. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Baltimore Orioles, but lost to the Kansas City Royals. Right now, they're also kind of having some issues, especially with the starting pitching. You know, I've mentioned it with them that the injuries have killed them with the starting pitching, but so far, they've pretty much been able to overcome it. But now, it's starting to... cracks are starting to show with this pitching squad, especially the starting pitching. And we'll see how that goes throughout the rest of the season, because, I mean, now the division that the Guardians are in is actually starting to get a little bit bottlenecked. And you got the Minnesota Twins right on their tail, and it just wouldn't be shocking if it becomes a battle for a bit in their division. But right now, Guardians are still holding it down. Jose Ramirez having an amazing year, batting .280 with 23 home runs and 76 RBI, and he's right up top 5 in all those categories as well. And it just kind of feels like every time he comes up to bat, he gets on base or just knocks it right out of the park. So they're at least getting a lot of production from him and Stephen Kwan as well. But that starting pitching is starting to crack, and who knows if that dam is just about to explode here after the All-Star break. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, the team I just mentioned, right up on the tail of the Guardians, that would be the Minnesota Twins. Overall record of 47-37. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Arizona Diamondbacks and over the Seattle Mariners. And Carlos Correa, the dude has just been on fire the last month or so. He's batting a .311, which is top 5 in the league right now. 9 home runs and 40 RBI on the season, and he keeps getting on base. Just about every time he comes up to bat now. So he's looking to be like the old Carlos Correa back when he was with the Houston Astros. And then their starting pitcher, Pablo Lopez, finally seems to have gotten in sync as well. He's got 8 wins on the season. Now, he does have a .488 ERA, which is not a good ERA, but he does have 110 strikeouts, and the wins is always what you really want. But he's starting to now finally get it going. And the Twins are starting to become a very consistent team. And that's why I said the Guardians better watch out, because I feel like if the Twins are able to stay healthy, because that's always a problem with them. You know, you got Royce Lewis, who's a fantastic player, but always gets injured. And then you got Correa with basically the same issues. They're just not a very consistent team. But if they're able to maintain some level of consistency, I feel like it's going to be a battle between the Guardians and the Twins for the AL Central. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the San Diego Padres. Overall record of 46-42. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Washington Nationals and the Boston Red Sox, and they are just getting a lot of production out of Jackson Merrill since they called him up. He is batting a .294 with 12 home runs and 42 RBI. He's already had game-winning hits, multiple game-winning hits. He's just making a lot of plays and just providing a huge source of offense for this already explosive offense. I mean, The Padres are having no issue scoring. It's really just their starting pitching. They are overcoming injuries to the starting pitching, and they've been very up and down with the starting pitching, but their offensive production is just on another level, and Jackson Merrill is one of the reasons why. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings at the Boston Red Sox, overall record of 44-39. They're 5-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they split the series with the Toronto Blue Jays and lost the series to the San Diego Padres. They are getting a great, great starting pitching this year from Tanner Houck. He's got 7 wins on the season with a 2.67 ERA and 105 strikeouts. So he's been pretty much their most consistent starting pitcher on the year. And then, of course, Rafael Devers, he's just living up to all the hype. He's batting a 2.86 with 18 home runs and 45 RBI. So he's having no issues getting on base. And really, honestly, the Red Sox offense is just, it's actually pretty productive. It's just really their starting pitching is good, but then they have some bad nights, and they're just not a really consistent team yet where I look at them and go, I feel like they could be a problem in the postseason, but as the season wears on, they might be able to find an identity and really get it going. But they are also in a really difficult division with the Yankees and the Orioles. And then rounding out the top 10 MLB power rankings this week, it is the struggling Atlanta Braves. Their overall record is 46-36. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. They got swept this week by the St. Louis Cardinals, and then they did take the series over the Pittsburgh Pirates. But this team, they just haven't found any consistency at all. Of course, the injuries have been a huge, huge blow to their entire season. But even beyond the injuries, they just really haven't been able to get any consistency outside of their couple of pitchers, Chris Sale, Freed, and then, of course, Ozuna as well. And Chris Sale, he's having a career year with 10 wins, a 2.79 ERA, and 118 strikeouts. So he is their shining star on the season. But overall, this Braves team, they're just so weird. It's one week they'll be on. Like last week, they were playing really solid baseball, and then this week they're back to back to crap, it seems like. So who knows what we're getting with the Braves this year. Like I said, those injuries are killing them. But we do have a lot of baseball left to go, and they do have a very, very capable roster. It's just, I kind of feel like they were screwed once they lost Acuña and Strider, their top pitcher and their top offensive production. These are Cy Young and MVP type players that we're talking about here. So they obviously were losing a lot with those guys, but at the same time, no excuses. Everybody's got the injuries, but then also the Braves have a stacked ass roster. But that's what I mean, though. They could have get it going, even though they're not getting it going right now. But they are still in the top 10, and that's just because I think it's more out of respect at this rate. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.